In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9 is where we're going to begin reading tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now Paul's speaking. He said, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, or brought out in the open, let it be seen. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And this is as far as we'll read. You be seated and let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, help us as we look at the Scriptures. Lord, we realize that we've already read more than we'll be able to get into. But I pray, Father, you give us wisdom, understanding from heaven, God, that we'll understand these Scriptures and rightly divide them and, Lord, rightly teach them tonight, that we might be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us not to twist or, Lord, to move around or dispose of any of the Scripture tonight or any of the truth that you've got for us. But help us, Lord, to see it as it is. Lord, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord here by studying the Word of God tonight. Touch our hearts and we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at two or three things. We'll several more than that, but we'll look at these things in particular. In this last verse, or last part of chapter 3 and verse number 10, Paul said, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And before I say anything, I want to tell you that the greatest business of all the world is God's business. You can't get any better or greater than God's business. So if you want to get in the best business in town, join the business of God. And so I'd say tonight, begin to do what He says do. Now, taking that in thought, Paul said, I've laid the foundation, I've built upon it. If you remember, we didn't read this Sunday night, but as we was talking about the carnal mind, what they got was division. And one of them said, I'm of Paul. Another come along and said, I'm of Apollos. And another said, I'm of Cephas. And you remember they were different and having a division because one believed that Paul was the teacher and the preacher, and of course Paul was their mouthpiece, and Apollos was another, and Cephas was another, and they began to follow after men. And that's what carnal men and women do. They follow after men. But Paul has said, hey, it's not me, it's not Apollos, and it's not Cephas. He said, for what we do, and he said, Paul said this, that I come forth and I sow the seed. Apollos and Cephas comes along and waters the seed. But in the end, it's God that gives the increase. So, regardless what preacher has preached to you, and I remember, and I say this, the preachers you got saved under probably will have a special place in your heart. And that's rightly so. But I'll tell you tonight, it's God who's giving it all at the end. And Paul said, I've just laid the foundation, and I build upon it. Now, we're looking at something in verse number 9. He said, for we are laborers. That's workers, if you don't know what a laborer is. Just a plain out worker. Not too many folks know too much about working in this day, but laborers are somebody that work. They're not, I always think about laborers, they're not them that sit at the desk. They're not them that wears the suits and the ties and got the desk jobs. Labor, of course, they are laborers, but I'm saying to you tonight, when I think of a laborer, I think of somebody that's getting calluses on their hand and I got a strong back and don't have to have a strong mind, but you can have a weak mind and have a strong back and be a laborer. Amen. You don't have to be real smart to be a laborer. All you got to do is just give forth the effort and the physical strength to go. And God said that's what we are. We're laborers. Now, laborers is not, you know what, when you think about the laborers, you know, on public jobs, for instance, back in Paul's day, they didn't have factories and that sort of thing that we have today. And we've got the people that sit in the little cubicles and the people that's got the big jobs, and the people out on the floor do the work. Now, the people in the office couldn't live if they didn't have somebody on the floor doing the work. Amen. Now, the people might live out there on the floor if they didn't have the office workers, but I'm telling you tonight, it's important to have laborers. And God wants laborers, and He said tonight what we are the laborers. That means when you see that it says laborers tonight, it means workers. It also does not mean, it don't include this. It's not saying tonight that, He's not saying it all. They're not deadbeats. Amen. When you're a laborer, you're not a deadbeat. Amen. You find some goes on a job, and I'm just looking, and you know what happens? I've been on both sides. I've worked as an employee for somebody and then been the boss over some too. So I've been on both sides of the thing. And there's one thing about it, on both sides, and you have a lot of it sometimes, what we call, back in the little mill I used to work in, horseplay. Amen. Now some of us are laborers in Christ because we work and we labor and we toil. And laborers is somebody, I think, that wipes a little sweat off every now and then like this, you know. Amen. And their right guard leaves pretty soon. They don't smell real sweet all day long like some do. You work hard. Amen. It makes a difference. But we see it. He said we're laborers. Now, as we look at the laborers, laborers don't accomplish anything being a deadbeat. And they don't accomplish anything if they're horse playing. And they don't accomplish anything if they're lazy. Amen. You find somebody on the job that's lazy. Have you ever worked with people that's lazy? Yeah. Amen. They remind me of a hound dog that lays under the porch and won't hardly get up. He just raises his head up a little bit when you come out. Throw him a biscuit, and if a biscuit don't get right up to his nose, he ain't going to even get up and get it. He's too lazy. And that's the way. But we're laborers. That means we're workers. We're not shirkers. We're workers. And we go. Notice what he said in verse 9. He said, "For we are laborers together." What's that next word? You seeing it? With God. Hey, will you look at this a minute? Are we laborers with God? That's what the Bible says. In other words, we're equal to Him in the Word, or co-laborers, what we should say, with God. Now, we're not God, amen, and we're just His children, but we are laborers together with God. All of us are working together. Who with? Who are we working with? God. Well, it also takes the thought tonight that we're not only working with Him, but we're working for Him, are we not? So tonight we look at those things, and it's a blessing to see. Now, I said the work of God's the greatest work that can be done. There's nothing any greater. There's no person any greater, no boss any greater. There's no job or any business any greater than God's business. And there's no business more exciting than the work of God. I get excited and I see, you know, it's amazing. We can see what the hand of God does and seeing souls saved and hearts changed and lives made a difference in. When you look at the work of God and see what it does. I see God work in your heart. I see Him work in your life. I see Him work in my life. Brother, I know what God can do. Heaven can open up on your soul and change your mind and change your direction and change your attitude and change your heart and change your life and change your lifestyle. You've done it and seen it before in yourself many times, have you not? That's the work of God. Amen. I watch it in my children. I watch it in the church. I watch it in the community. Wherever God is working, I see a difference being made. Brother, I tell you, the business of God's the greatest work that there is. You see, it's amazing that we're working with and we're working for the Creator. Ain't you glad? Hey, we're punching a clock for the Lord. Now you said, what do you mean, punching a clock? Well, the thing about it is you don't have no time to stop. And no time, you have plenty of time to start, and some of us need to get that way, starting. But where there's no stopping place in the work of God. 8 hours on the job, you can punch out and come home, prop your feet up. But you can't do that in God's work. It's a 24/7. We're laborers in Christ's vineyard. Brother, we're His husbandry. Now the husbandry means that we're just the tenders of the vineyard. Brother, that's what God's put us over, is the tenders of the vineyard. It's amazing tonight that we're working for the Creator. We're working for the Sustainer of the universe. We're working for the Almighty tonight. Now think about this. It's God that provides the seed of the Word of God. And you know what our job is? God provides the seed. Right here it is. God provides the seed. What's our job? To sow it. Amen. He that goeth forth sowing, and that what he says over there, and he said, weeping and sowing and bearing precious seed, the Bible said he shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. And he also said, and with weeping. Amen. And beloved, God produces the seed, and he puts the seed out there. But it's us, and our job as laborers in his vineyard tonight, that we are to sow the seed. Secondly, it's God that provides and supplies and provides the Spirit of God and the power of God to convict the sinner. But it's your and our job tonight, and our job as an individual, as a laborer in the field, that we're to sow the seed and preach the Word. He provides the power, and He provides the Spirit to do the convicting. But brother, it's your and our job. Our job, that's not the way to say it, but it's our job to preach the Word of God. Amen. That's what the church ought to be majoring on tonight, preaching the Word of God. Amen. Getting the gospel. We're laborers. And then we know it's God's job tonight to provide pardon for the sinner. I can't give him a pardon. I can't change him. I can't give him a pardon. But it's God's job to give the pardon. But what's it my job to do? It's mine, your job as laborers, to pray for the sinner. Amen. So you see, God's got a job, and we've got a job. We're working with Him. You understand that? Why we're saying we're working with Him tonight? Amen. He's got the seed to be sowed, and He says, all right, you go sow it. We're working, we're laborers with God, sowing the seed. Does that make sense? And as plain as you can see here, if you look at it. Now, God provides the Spirit. God said, I'll give conviction. Now, how does He give conviction? The Bible said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And through the preaching is what God has chosen, the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but foolishness of preaching to save men and women. God said, I'll give the power to convict them of sin, but it's your job to do the preaching. So what are we doing when we're preaching? We're working with Him, laborers with Him. You said, I'm not a preacher. Pass out a tract. Amen. If you ain't a preacher, the best way to do any preaching is to give out a tract. Or do a witness to them. Amen. And if you can't even witness to them, live right in front of them. Amen. Yeah, I get us. I got us all. Now, whoa, what are we? We're laborers with Him, with God. Now, I believe tonight that when He said, I'll give the pardon to the sinner, but it's your job to do the praying. We're working with Him when we're praying. Now, it's God's job to provide the salvation. I can't provide the salvation. But it's God's job to do that. But it's my job to portray Christ in my life and let the world see Christ lives in me. Is that right? Why? Because we're laborers together with God. There's three things. Jot this down. I've preached on this before, these three things. And I've brought them to your attention several times down through the years. I've used this. And it's three things that need to be brought out all the time in our lives. And as a church, as a Christian, as a child of God, especially as a church, three things that we need to do every service. Number one, we need to exalt the Savior. Amen. If I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. When we get in the church and are singing, we lift Him. What are we doing when we're singing, How Great Thou Art? What are we doing when we're singing Amazing Grace? We're exalting the Savior. Oh, you said, preacher, I'm exalting my vocal cords. You're missing the mark. We're laborers with Him. When we're singing in this choir, now what did I say that we ought to be doing? We're laborers who with? God. We're laborers with God. Now, when we're singing in the choir, what we're doing is we're exalting the Savior in our voice. Amen. Now, somebody said, I was up there to see if I could out-sing the one beside me. Well, help yourself. Amen. Maybe you'll make that ugliness trying to glorify God, sing better. And maybe they'll get a better reward than you will because you're just playing around. But hey, help yourself. It's still the Bible said, and I know this is to be true, the Bible said, let all, wants all of us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So if your heart ain't even in it, still make a joyful noise. Say amen right there. Say, you can sing it anyhow. But it'd be better if you'd sing it to exalt the Savior. Every service we come in here to sing a song, to give a testimony, to preach a message, to shake a hand, to welcome somebody that's come in, and to fellowship one the other. Our job is to exalt the Savior. Number two, not only should we exalt the Savior, but we should, every time we meet here, do what we can to evangelize the sinner. In other words, let the sinner know that there's a Christ, that there's a way of redemption, there's a plan of God, and the blood of Christ can be applied. So we ought to evangelize the sinner and exalt the Savior. Every service ought to be geared toward exalting the Savior and evangelizing the sinner. And then the third thing we ought to do is exhort the saints. Amen. Not only exhort them, but edify them as well. What's that mean? It means to challenge one another with the Word of God and at the same time edify one another, build them up in the faith. We ought to build one another up in the most holy faith. It ought to be my job and your job to try to build each other up. You know what we do sometimes? We hurt them. Amen. Sometimes you don't even pay much attention to it, but you can hurt somebody by saying something and it may be true what you're saying. Amen. They're singing in the choir. They're trying to exalt the Savior. And, they're singing, they miss a note, and you may look over there, kind of cross-eyed. You know, I get a look every once in a while, it don't bother me none. I get off on the wrong verse every once in a while. Everybody looks around at me every once in a while. I don't pay no attention to that, don't bother me at all, don't upset it. But you may look at somebody else because they sung off-key and makes them feel bad. If they sing off-key, hey, they're at least singing. Amen. And the next time you make a funny look like that, I pray on you that the next time you try to sing, you'll make three mistakes, amen, to make up for their one. So that they'll get the limelight on you next time. But sometimes you might look and say, oh, so-and-so can't sing. I mean, out in the back, you done been in the choir with them, out in the back toward the front of the church we're out, and they'll say, hey, look, I know so-and-so can't sing a lick. They can't hit a lick in the choir. And you may be just teasing them, but you don't know what that's going to do. You're not edifying the saints. We ought to exalt one another. Hey, you're going to make a mistake too down the road. If you ain't made one by now, you will. Amen. Anybody? I won't even ask that question if anybody in here had never made one. I'll just go on. I know good and well. So we're laborers together with Christ, are we not? Now the church is founded on some things. Number one, the church has been built upon Christ. You said, I know that. Yeah, I know. I want you to really know that. The church is built on Christ. It's not built on you. It's not built on me. It should not be built on singing. It should not be built on our philosophies. It should not be built on anybody. It's built on Christ, upon this rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. That's Christ. He's the rock. So it's built on Christ. And we think about that. Amen. Not only has the church been built upon Him, secondly, the church has been built for Him. Did you know tonight the church don't belong to you? It's been built for Christ. What is the church? It's the born-again believers. Those who have been birthed in the family of God, washed in the blood. And brother, that church tonight has been built upon Him and built for Him. Why are we getting people to try to get saved? Why are we trying to invite people to church? Why are we trying to preach for people? It's simply because tonight we're trying to build the church for Him. I believe we miss the mark sometimes. We're not building the church for ourselves. We're not building the church for the county. We're not building the church for the Baptists. We're building the church for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Upon Him. Now, thirdly, not only is the church being built upon Him and built for Him, but the church is built through Him. Amen. There wouldn't be no church was it not built for through Jesus Christ. No reason to preach without Jesus. Now let's think about the church. The church has been fed by the preaching of the Word of God. God feeds the church. He keeps the church going, so we can be co-laborers with Him. So He feeds us. What does He feed us with? Not the world. Not philosophy. Amen. Worldly ideas. He fills us with the precious Word of God through the preaching of the Word. You say, that's simple. Amen. I want it to be simple. Now, God feeds the church. When a church gets the thing, they've got to go to the world to get their fellowship. Where does God want us to get our fellowship? Through the Word and the preaching and the Spirit and, amen, the house of God. That's where we get it. Now, the church tonight's been fed. Now, the Word of God ministers. Every time the Word of God is preached and proclaimed, it ministers. It's got a ministry. What is the ministry of the Word? Well, there's the ministry of the Word to the preacher. Amen. And God feeds the preacher. We'll look at it kind of like this. First of all, the Word ministers to the lost. Number one, the Word ministers. What's the Word been preached? What happened to you when you was lost in sin? The Word was preached to you because you was lost in sin, and the Word ministered to you and let you see that you was lost. And then, not only that, but then the Word ministers to the lambs. You and I who are the lambs of God. Amen. Jesus is the Lamb, but we're sheep of His pasture. He's the Shepherd. We know His voice. We're known of Him. He's known of us. And beloved, tonight we follow the Shepherd. But the Word of God feeds us, the lambs. And the Word of God ministers to the lambs. And then the Word of God ministers to the leaders, who are those who are leading and directing the church. I had an interesting conversation this week. And the fellow, it was kind of interesting. And, you run into a lot of things out there in the world. And I sat down, and there's a fellow sitting on the bench beside me there. I said, "Can I sit down with you here?" He said, "Help yourself." And so it wasn't just a minute or two. And we got to talking about where we was from. He was from Waynesville, North Carolina, and I was from Clarksville, and we was in another town. And I was sitting there. And I said, "You're out from home. You're not from home, from here then." He said, "No." I said, "I'm not either." I said, "Are you saved?" And he said, "I sure am." And I said, "That's wonderful." And I asked him where he went to church, and he told me. And then he got to telling me some things. And then before I got up there, I got so confused. He confused me. I believe a person ought to tell you that they've been washed in the blood of Christ and forgiven their sin. And I said, "How did you get saved?" He said, "It was a strange thing." And I thought, I'm listening for something here now. And just in a few moments, he began to talk about it. And he said, "I was just a young fella." And said, "My mom had always told me about the Lord." And said, "I got down and said, 'Lord, you need to show me something.'" And he said, I was laying in the bed, and a big, tall statue came walking up to the foot of the bed. And said it was Christ, and He is about two or three times taller than any other man. And He said, "I want you to get up and get saved." And I said, "What happened?" He said, "I just got up and got saved." And I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I just went over and bowed at His feet." Said, "He touched me on the head." And I thought, "Hey, that ain't what happened to me." Amen. And here we are. You never hear such stories in all your life. And he said, the Lord told me, now I got to go tell my brother. And said, I got off work the next day, went to Atlanta, Georgia, went down there and told him about it. Said, he run me off. Said, I ain't seen him since. And I said, "Really?" And he got talking. They ain't even a word. I can't get a word in. I'm glad my wife rescued me. Amen. She come up ready to go. She said, "Did I rescue you?" And I said, "Well, no, not really, I guess." But she did. Amen. So you see, people have got all kinds of ideas how they got saved. Now, if you've got something like that, now I'm going to tell you something. You didn't get it. Brother, I believe salvation comes through the preaching of the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God convicts you of sin and calls you to repentance, and you come, you bow. You don't have to come to the church altar, but somewhere you've got to find an altar, cry out to God, repent of your sin, and call upon the Savior. It works that way every time. God ain't changed that. So we find tonight the church is fed by what? The Word of God. That's how He feeds the workers. He feeds us with the Word of God so that we'll keep working for God. Now, another thing. Not only tonight does He feed us with the Word of God, but He gives us some fuel, amen, in our soul, and it's the fuel, brother, is prayer. Amen. Prayer fuels our soul. Amen. We start praying, it starts fueling us. And we get in touch with God. God, we ought to pray. Let me give you some things you ought to pray for constantly every day. Number one, you ought to pray for provision in the work of God. You ought to pray for your provision. Ask God to help you. Nothing wrong with getting down and saying, Lord, I need this and need this. Or, Lord, protect me, take care of me, provide for me. Listen, nothing wrong with asking God to provide for you. He's already told you He would. Amen. I like to remind Him every once in a while. I don't have to remind God of anything. He's not like I am. He don't forget. But one thing, I sometimes think He does, and so I have to remind Him, Lord, now You've got to provide for me. And then He usually comes back in the Spirit of God and said, I've been doing it for all these years. And I have to say amen and go on with my prayer. But I still believe we ought to pray that God would provide. Now you said, well, if He's going to provide for you, why I pray for it? I know He knows what we need before we ever ask Him. But He said, ask me. Amen. If we don't pray, you don't pray much, you don't get much. God wants you to pray for provision. Number two, He wants you to pray for protection. I have to pray, my wife said today, said the devil's been on our case all day. I said, yeah, I know he has, and I'm glad of that, because if he wasn't on us, we ain't doing nothing for God. So I pray for protection. The devil don't like me. The devil don't like you. If you're living for God, the devil don't like you. Don't let nobody kid you. The little bit that you do for God, the devil does not like that. And what are you? You're a laborer with God. You're a laborer in the vineyard. And the Bible said, and the thing about it is, not just you. You see, I've left out one word tonight that maybe we ought to go back and incorporate, which I was planning on doing anyhow. What's it say? We are laborers. What's that next word? Together. There we are. With God. That don't mean that I've got a job here at this church to do by myself. I mean, it don't mean that it means tonight that I'm not alone in this thing. It means that you're involved with me. You've got a job just like I have. We're working in the same vineyard for the same person, with the same person, and with the same reason, and should be with the same ideas in our mind for God. Is that right? Hey! So when you're singing a song and I'm singing a song, what are we doing? We're exalting Christ together. Amen. Now, I like it when we all sing together. That's right. You get two birds singing together, they sound and make good music. Amen. You have to be pretty good to sing solo. Some folks can sing solos and do a wonderful, terrific job. I'm not a soloist. Unless it's solo, you can't hear it. Amen. I'm not a soloist. I'd sing a few phrases, a few things, and my old graspy voice that I've used and makes it cracky, and from preaching for so long down through the years, I just can't get the smoothness out. Maybe I couldn't get it for a preacher, I don't know. But anyhow, I know my cracky voice is not the best. So I sing better when I got somebody singing with me. And I get better when it's a trio. I'm better when it's a quartet. What do you call five? I don't know. Huh? When the quintet, I get better when it's a choir. Amen. And I sing better when it's a crowd. You know why? Because them places I can't reach and can't get, I can shut up and let them sing it. And nobody ever knows that I quit. Amen. And you know what's happening tonight? We're co-laborers together. We're working in the same vineyard, are we not? I'd rather work with you folks than anybody I know. But see, we pray for provision. We pray for protection. We pray for prosperity. What's wrong with praying for God to prosper you? Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you what? The desires of what? Your heart. What is that? What you want. God said, I'll give you what you want if you delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. No more need to be said about that. And then we ought to pray for God's power. So prayer tonight is what God fuels our soul with. And then we find tonight that the church is filled, amen, with people And the work is to be filled, the workers are to be filled in the house of God with some things that, I mean, can be demonstrated. And every one of us ought to be filled with the love of Christ in our heart. We ought to love one another. Amen. We ought to love everybody the same. We ought to love each other tonight. We ought to have a holy love for one another. Amen. Well, the church, and I just jotted down some things here. Here's some things that the church need to be filled with this kind of Christian tonight. First of all, it ought to be filled with saved people. Amen. Now, isn't that something? Amen. I mean, it would be a blessing to have a church filled with 100% saved people. And a sinner come in, he couldn't stand it and have to get right with God, and he ended up being saved. That's the way it's supposed to be. Church filled with saved people. Secondly, filled with submissive people. Filled with serving people. Filled with shouting people. Filled with singing people. Filled with soul winning people. Filled with separated people. Filled with seeking people. Seeking the will of God. Now, if we could just get where we're together like that, wouldn't it be a blessing? Now, let's look at something. Time done caught me. I'm going to give you some more things. I want to move down a little further. I still ain't going to get where I wanted to be. Verse 10. He said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The Bible talks about the church as a building. It talks about the church as a brotherhood. It talks about the church as a bride. It talks about the church as a body. But it's a building here that Paul's talking about. It needs to have the right foundation. If you're going to build anything, you better get started off right with a foundation. You'd have the prettiest roof, the prettiest walls, the most modern windows and doors, and the beautiful carpet and the floor and everything. But if it's not on a right foundation, it may look good for a day or two, and then it'll fall apart. Amen. Now, that can be said a couple of ways. First of all, the lost need to have a foundation, and they do through Jesus Christ. They have the sand that they can build on, or they have the rock, which is Christ, that they can build on. But after they're saved, there's something else that we need. We need to be built upon the right foundation, some things that we build. First of all, I want to say Jesus is that foundation. And we need a good foundation that, first of all, doctrinally, spiritually. Amen. And if our foundation, our church, is built on Jesus, it's going to have the right doctrine. It's going to have the right spirituality about it. You hear me? These people up and down the world's got all these different ideas and can't get to, they're not built on the right foundation. And even if they are saved, they're not building upon that foundation with the right materials. And that's where we come to the next portion of this Scripture that we're not going to have time for. But Jesus is the foundation, number one, for salvation. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Salvation in none other but Jesus. He is the gospel. He is the grounds of our assurance. He not only saved my soul, He is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, and He is the means of my salvation, but He's also the method that I have of getting assurance to know that I'm saved. There's nothing better than being saved except for two things. One, knowing that you're saved, and the second, being in the presence of God. Now, a lot of people saved and are not sure they're saved, and they're certainly not in the presence of God. But I like it to know tonight that I'm saved, and God give me that assurance that I'm saved, and I know that I'm saved. And there's only one more step for me to be, and that's in His eternal presence. And I'm headed there. Amen. Not many days hence, according to the way the nature is. But He is the ground of our assurance. Then He's not only the ground of our assurance, but He is the guarantee of our acceptance. The Bible said we are accepted in the Beloved.
Listen, I could not be accepted in the eyes of God the Father but through Jesus Christ. So He's my foundation. You understand that? Amen. So He's the reason not only for my salvation, but He's the reason for my service. Why do I serve Christ tonight? Why do you serve Christ? Why do we become laborers together with God? Because He is our service. And we're doing it for Him tonight. Now why? Amen. Because He has saved us. That's why we serve Him. And secondly, He's the recipe for our service. What's that mean? He's already the example. You know what you ladies do when you get a... You know what a recipe is? My wife calls it a receipt sometimes. But a recipe. A recipe lays it out and tells you how much of what to put in it. Right? You know what that... That's the pattern. Now Christ is a recipe of a Christian life. He tells you this is what you need to live a Christian life. And so we follow Him. He's the recipe for our service. Living a Christian life. And then, not only that, He's the reward of our service. How does He reward us? Well, you said, how do we get rewarded for the Lord? Number one, you get rewarded by the peace He puts in your heart. He rewards you with peace. He rewards you with fellowship. You have that fellowship with the Son of God. Number three, He rewards you with joy. Amen. He brings the joy down in your soul. Some of you don't know too much about that, but anyhow, He's there. Amen. I pray God stir that little joy up in you every once in a while. Amen. Some of you need to be, you know, kind of pricked in the heart a little bit. Amen. You know how sometimes a wife will put her elbow in the side of her husband when the preacher's preaching on something, or the wife or the husband do the wife that kind of nudge you. Sometimes you need a little nudging to get that joy stirred. And then he's going to have rewards for us when we get the glory. Five crowns, according to the Word of God, that we can win. I'm not going to talk about them tonight. He's the foundation of our salvation. He's the foundation of our service. And thirdly, He's the foundation for the storms of our life. You're going to have some storms. Amen. He's the foundation. There's going to be things that's going to threaten your family. If they've done it in days past, they do it again. There's storms that's going to threaten your family. And He's our only hope for that tonight. There's going to be some storms that's going to come that's going to threaten your finances. Understand that? There's going to be some storms that's going to come away and it's going to threaten you with, well, taking your fellowship away, for instance. And there's going to be storms that's going to come that's going to threaten your faithfulness to God. You're going to have to lean on the Lord to do that, to stay out of it. I'm glad tonight we got a foundation that's unmovable. And I could talk on the foundation. But I'm telling you tonight, going back to verse 9, read this with me. I'm closing. Listen, in verse 9 He said, "For we are what? Labors." Now how labors what? Together. That's all of us, unity. Amen. One mind, one accord. Next, with, and next we were who? God. Now go home tonight and think about that before you go to sleep. We're laborers together with God. You know what that means? We're arm in arm. We're hand in hand. We're soul to soul. And our efforts at this church is together to do three things. What were they? Exalt the Savior, evangelize the sinner, and edify the saint. And if we'll do that, Brother, God will bless us. And it'll make a church, well, you know, it'll make a church one of those pleasant churches to go to. Amen. When a church gets to where it's not pleasant to go to, one of two things has happened. Either the church has moved out of the track with God, or you've moved out of the track with the church. Or moved out of the track with God is what I should have said. Amen. You moved or the church has moved. Kind of like the husband and wife has been married 50 years and she says to him, "You know, we used to sit together when we was dating. And you sit in the middle. I sat over there next to you." And he has to look over and said, "Yeah, but who moved?" Amen. Somebody moved. Amen. You said they got the modern cars with the consoles, yeah? Amen. That took our fellowship away. But what happens? Something come between us. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't fellowship together and enjoy coming to church. I enjoy coming to church, you folks. I do. I enjoy seeing you, shaking hands with you, talking to you. Sometimes I may not say a word too much. Just say how you do it and everything. And you just don't know at the times I go home and I just think about you, appreciate you. Amen. Even though I don't say much. But I enjoy the fellowship of coming to church. It's been a long time. Now, the devil hears this and he's going to try to change it. He don't like it. But I've gone to church many times down through the years over a period of time. And sometimes I dreaded going because I just didn't know what I was going to face when I got there. I didn't know if somebody's going to stir up something, keep it going. We're going to have a problem and you feel that barrier and that conflict and that division. You'd feel it, folks, when you got it. And you'd enjoy it when it ain't there. And I'm in one of them enjoyable moods right now. And I don't want anything come between us. And if you've got a problem, I mean, if you have a barrier with somebody in this church, you're the one that's got the problem. Because I don't have a barrier with you. I love you. Enjoy coming to church with you. Don't like it when you don't come. Amen. Miss you when you're not here. Amen. But I love you. And that's the way church ought to be. Amen. Shouldn't have to draw up and wonder, what are we going to get into tonight? Oh, I dread tonight. Somebody's going to say, oh, no, listen, don't get the place. You get a place that you dread coming to see somebody at the church. You need to get that straightened out between you and God at first. And God will take care of the rest of you. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We are laborers together with God. Who is? We. We are laborers together with God. We're laborers together, right? With God. Amen. Appreciate it. Thank God for the work of God. Amen. Thank the Lord for what He's done for us, what He's doing.